call this to order here. I, Norm Rush, Chair of the Oregon Board of Accountancy Qualifications Committee, call this public meeting to order at 9:04 a.m. via Zoom on Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. This meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. In accordance with the advisory committee procedures, the function of the committee is to review the experience requirements of individuals applying for an Oregon license to practice public accountancy and make recommendations to the board regarding such applications. The committee will review experience records submitted by the applicant, rate achievement of the core competencies and other professional standards, including non-public accounting experience, known as equivalent experience, and experience obtained through board approved experience programs. In the performance of duties as a member of a committee appointed to the board, all committee members will support the mission, goals, and values of the board. Committee members will not disclose confidential information that comes to their attention during the course of carrying out their responsibilities. Requests to any committee member for copies of public information or for a public statement relating to committee or board matters will be referred to the executive director. Board and committee members are expected to attend all meetings and be prepared for the discussion by reading the agenda material prior to the meeting. Committee members are expected to participate in the individual review of applicant files as assigned, providing timely notification to the committee coordinator that a potential conflict of interest exists. Likewise, committee members must provide timely notification to the committee coordinator of any conflict of interest in any matters to be discussed. Members of the committee, please remember to mute your microphones during the meeting to avoid unnecessary background noise, and do not use the chat room feature for any discussions. When you want to speak, you may unmute yourself and state your name prior to speaking. Should any technical issues arise, we will pause the meeting until it's resolved. I'll now take roll of all participating members and guests. For any participating guests whose name was not called, please identify yourself at the end. Okay, committee members. I'm Norm Rush. Ellen Bone.
Here.
Jill Marie Borobonsky. Jody Deardorff.
Jody, please indicate the presence of
you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, Jody is there. Desiree, did I think Desiree is absent today. Stephen Maeda?
Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Stephen.
Okay, thank you.
Angelo Bedards, Jr. Brian Miller?
Here.
Aaron Piazza?
Here.
Thank you. Mira Pinero?
Here.
Thank you. Gabby Zhu?
Here.
Thank you. Our board liaison, Jason Robinson. I think Jason was going to be late today. Correct, Joel?
Correct.
Okay. Board staff, Kimberly Fast.
Kimberly is no longer with the Board of Accountants.
We'll
get that updated.
I apologize. Thank you, Julie. Julie is here.
Yes.
Joel Parks.
Here.
Thank you. For our applicants, is Catherine Maxson here? Okay. Bruno Barra Santos. Janelle Croy.
Good morning. I'm here.
Thank you. Emily Marcotte?
Here.
Thank you. Shane Bridges?
Here.
Thank you. Abhishek Kamwa? John Post?
Here.
Thank you. Joel, I think I see Bruno just now. Are there any guests here in support of the applicants?
Yes, I'm Christine. I'm with Oregon Department of Human and you, and I'm here for John Post. I'm interested as a guest.
Yes. Thank you.
And I'm James Bardis. I am a mentor for John Post.
Thank you, Jim.
Ling Kai from Department of Revenue and John Post.
Thank you, Ling.
Ben Marka here in support of Emily Marka.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
Esther, thank you. Any other guests who did not have a chance to acknowledge their presence?
Yes, this is Bruno Waha, CPA.
Okay. Thank you, Bruno. Okay, thank you. Okay, well, let's move to the agenda then. You've all received the agenda. Are there any comments or suggestions for the agenda as presented?
Hey, Norm, this is Aaron. I'm going to jump off early. Is there a chance we can move the Shane Bridges application to the top of the list?
That's fine with me. Joel, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other suggestions or comments on the agenda? Okay, would somebody please provide a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Aaron. I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting.
This is Mary. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay, thank you. Great. Well, let's move to the review of the qualification committee summary from our last meeting. A motion is not required on this because the meeting is recorded and posted on the Board of Texas website. Are there any comments or suggestions? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on from that. Thank you. The updated roster, let's look at the roster. We have some first of all, let me ask, are there any corrections to the roster? I'm sorry that anybody has corrections, edits, or comments on the roster that we should make Joel aware of. Okay, good. So I do want to welcome our new members. Jill Marie Morvansky, Jody Geardorf, and Angelo Mendarts. Welcome. Great. Great to have you on the committee. Okay, I see that Jason has joined us. I'll turn the mic over to Jason Robinson, our board liaison. Jason, would you like to offer a report from the board?
Nothing really important to report for the committee itself, but we do have a new executive director that will be starting shortly. So we'll wait and we'll have him announce himself to you guys at our next meeting. But yeah, that's exciting news for us. So it was a pretty interesting process. I'm happy that we included people on the panel that were outside of the board. So I thought that was a pretty good move for us. If you guys didn't know, that we let our executive director go and took the last month and a half process to hire anyone. So is there any questions on that? Yeah. That's all I had.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, Jason. And I do see, my apologies, I see that I skipped over agenda item number 5, review of the memo to the board. Recall in our last meeting we discussed drafting a memo from our committee to the board regarding the transfers of licenses from other states. and primarily Washington, and the increase in activity in that activity. And we drafted a memo to the board, kind of, actually Ellen drafted it and provided it to us for review. We drafted a memo from the committee, however, to the board, describing our thoughts on that process, and further describing how we believe this committee should be in the loop on that process as far as reviewing those applications, for licensure in Oregon. So I just present that. If you all had a chance to look at that memo, are there any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to add or just present for discussion?
Yeah, I think it's a good memo. You know, one thing I noticed from reading the packet of today's applicants is kind of interesting. We have several that appear to be out of state Oregon applicants that really have no nexus, either living or working here in Oregon. So I guess I'm kind of curious the story on that, but just kind of seems relevant to us perceiving Oregon to be one of the tougher processes to get through. Yeah, we have out of state applicants that seem to be choosing Oregon on a fairly regular basis, at least coming through this committee.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Is there, Joel, or Julie, is there any additional information you can give, with respect to Aaron's thought there about the number of out-of-state applicants that we are seeing?
I actually don't have a lot to say about that. I know that in the past we've received guidance from, or not guidance, but a presentation from the Department of Justice on, nexus to Oregon. It's actually in the Oregon Constitution does not allow for us to require nexus to Oregon. Some states do. I don't know why particular candidates are choosing Oregon unless maybe they tested here first and there just is continuity. I recognize some of these names have come through our testing process. And the other point is, Tamika, I should make, is that not all states allow industry licensure.
Great, thank you, Julie. Any other thoughts or comments on the memo? That will go to the board at their June 23rd meeting. So that's when it will be reviewed and discussed at the board. Okay, well, good. No other comments on that memo then. Let me move to the item number 7 on the agenda, reviewing the pending applications. So I'll go through them. I'll introduce the first applicant and then we'll go through them in order. Committee members, please introduce the application you reviewed by providing a brief overview, highlighting any areas of concern or issues that you feel should be identified for further discussion. And let me ask before we get started, did everybody receive a copy of the updated forms of the motions that Joel sent out?
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Okay.
Oh, so, I'll stop you. Joel, if you could send that to me really quick. I know we had a little bit of a snafu with my email. I'm not sure I have that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's Ellen.
Oh, Ellen, okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Has the wording changed since the 2016 memo? That's the one I have on file when I started doing this a couple years ago.
It is a little bit different here. Yeah, so please use the preferred form of wording for your proposed motion after your review of your app. Okay, so let's go ahead and start then. I'll start with Shane Bridges, based on Aaron's request earlier. So Aaron, please proceed.
Gotcha. Thanks, Norm. Thanks, everybody. I know we have 7 applicants to get through this morning, so I'll try to be brief here. I'm reviewing Shane Bridges this morning. Shane is the Vice President and Treasurer of Consumer Cellular. He's probably holding a higher level financial position than we typically see come through our committee. So right off the bat, that kind of gave me a lot of confidence reviewing his application. I didn't, there weren't too many edits, but I'm going to kind of walk through some of those highlights. You know, Shane's held a lot of positions, a lot of high-level financial positions leading up to this role. He's previously the corporate controller of Consumer Cellular. He's currently reporting to the CAO of the company. Obviously, Consumer Cellular is a large telecom, so it is a fairly sophisticated entity. I think his application is very strong. I'll be upfront that I intend to recommend him for licensure this morning. Some of the highlights I'm going to quickly cover because I think they were particularly noteworthy. Competency C, I think Shang is a great example of how he takes GAAP financial information and repackages it for a different audience that may need a different perspective outside of the formal financial reporting program. I think that's a pretty sophisticated example of somebody who's been in this profession a while and can tailor the findings to the audience. So I like that example. If you look at CD, he's basically covered all those functional areas of the accounting cycle in his career. Not just dabbled in them, but actually managed them, led them. So that was also an impressive part of the application. And you know, one of the things that he's doing in his current role is he's the primary liaison for things like the external audit, liaisoning bankers and other third-party financial executives. So overall, I think the picture for Shane's application is very impressive. I'm going to open it up to the committee to have it, if they have any concerns. One thing he mentioned when we talked on the phone, which is not his application, is he did start his career in public accounting. So in addition to his what we see on paper, he actually started his career with a CPA firm as well. So he's got that to round out his experience. Although it's not here on paper, I like to consider that as part of his professional track. So. I have no more comments. Like I said, my intentions are that I'm going to proceed with recommending him pending the discussion of the committee.
Thank you, Aaron. I would agree with a lot of what you said. I thought his narrative definitely demonstrated his professional leadership as well as his technical acumen. I love the example in Competency C about the three goals and telling the story of data. That really resonated with me. The one thing that I would like to discuss with the committee, and I'm afraid that I might be bringing too much of my own personal bias. My day-to-day job deals a lot with systems and internal controls around those systems. In your examples about the OCR and the inventory, a lot of that conversation was focused around scalability, which I think is completely appropriate for your level and your position. But for me, it fell a little bit short about demonstrating your understanding of the internal controls as they're related to the system. So I was wondering if maybe you could get that just a little bit.
I'm sorry, are you asking me to?
Yeah, Shane, if you don't mind, or Aaron, I don't know if you want to jump in.
No, I think there's a question for Shane. He's on the call, so let him field that one.
What was your question in regards to?
In Competency D, at least the way I interpret what we're trying to capture there, is we're really wanting to make sure that applicants have an understanding of internal controls around systems. The two specific examples in your narratives were around the OCR technology as well as the inventory example. I felt like within the narrative, at least what was documented, was very focused around those aspects being scalable, which I do think from your perspective where you're saying that would actually be an area of focus. But I'm not sure that, at least for me, that it really demonstrated your understanding of the internal controls around the system. So was there something about those examples with the OCR thinking about whether it's trying to solve segregation duties issues within the department, whether it was trying to solve incorrect financial reporting of expenses, but just maybe something a little bit more in there to really demonstrate how a system uses internal controls to protect financial data?
I think in particular for our AP system, it really is something we're designing for internal control purposes from starting from the beginning process. And how that's going to flow through with the ORC and the matching of the invoices coming in, but it's more for, we're designing that specifically for internal control purposes, for, from it coming from just the segregation of duties and who's receiving it, who's touching it, making sure that we're having an internal control in process and in place from all aspects. But that's kind of why we're designing that. That's kind of why I put that in there. Just something specifically I'm touching right now in particular. So of course, CoreWaker touched lots of pieces of an internal control. But that was why I specifically for the ERP system and what we're doing, you know, with trying to get that automated and having the system so that we can put any of those in place right now. This is something that we're currently evaluating, currently going through, so this is relevant at all. And then as far as, you know, inventory controls specifically for that was more for financial reporting purposes, making sure our financials are accurate. When I first started with here, there was no control at all. So, of course, what if you find yourself that? And so, setting those internal controls up, just making sure that stuff was in place so that, you know, stuff that didn't walk out the door. And then making sure that we were doing regular opt-in count of those and different things. That's specifically why.
Oh, I'm sorry, Shane, that last little bit cut out just a little bit.
Oh, as far as for, I did this for inventory, that's kind of why I put that the example of the inventory in there, just because of the accuracy more of the financials and, you know, putting the controls in place of who has access to inventory.
That there is sufficient evidence that Shane Bridges has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing for Oregon Administrative Ruling 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
Zellin, I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Aaron. Okay, our next applicant is Catherine Maxim, and this application was reviewed by Ellen Long. Ellen, if you would go ahead and proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Catherine's narrative, I appreciated the level of detail that she was able to incorporate about her time at Touchmark. I thought she was able to demonstrate a very deep understanding of the driving factors within the retirement industry, which is something that was completely new to me. So I enjoyed having the opportunity. For competency A, as an accountant, I appreciated that Catherine's examples of a professional judgment objectivity and integrity encouraged Touchmark to move from GAAP accrual and off of cash basis. It's always nice to see as an accountant. I also like the example of skepticism in her analysis of financials that she provided to the company's bank. I thought she did a nice job demonstrating her professional skepticism and identifying trends that weren't consistent with her expectation given the company's history. In competency B, I thought Catherine did a nice job of documenting her understanding of both external and internal workings at Touchmark. The measurement of revenue per square foot as a different budget, demonstrating that deep understanding of how the budget was created, particularly the NOI percentages and how they were adjusted by state due to regulations. I also thought that it was interesting as far as like the economic impacts, the analysis that was used to look at pricing within the 10-mile radius. I like the example of Canada showing how Medicare and Medicaid impacted locations in their industry. Competencies team preparing working papers, accountancy issues, reporting revenue, recognizing information fees. She had to group these issues into two group causes, which I thought was a good way to think about it, thinking about it from a systems perspective as well as a people and process perspective. I appreciate that she looked at the calculation for, as an end-to-end process and not just isolating on the fact. In competency D, I thought she demonstrated a good overview of how revenue and expense was reported. I thought that this was supplemented by the detail in competency C as well, where management fee revenues. I also thought that in competency D, she did a nice job of discussing the drivers of the company's financial success factors. So while it wasn't necessarily in that one, I do feel that she touched on it really strongly in other places as well. For competency E, I thought Kathy did a very nice job describing her analysis of the weakness around prepaid expenses. I felt she was able to describe the risk factors as well as the steps that she took to be able to understand the root cause analysis again, and was including details on how she was able to substantially test the prepaid data. Competency F, I appreciated the documented example when she performed an analysis of her expense and made recommendations for both short-term and long-term cost-saving opportunities. I thought she included some good detail and some creative thinking as far as what her company could do. I also appreciated the very specific example about research and revenue recognition, ensuring that software was correctly captured. Then for Competency G, documenting an example of building out and representing KPIs to management. It's always important to be able to express those in a clear and concise way. I thought she did a nice job of detailing what was included within those KPI tracks and what effects the KPIs had on both normal as well as disaggregated impacts. So based on that, I do think Kathy presented a strong narrative. I thought that she had a relevant experience for initial licensing, but I'd like to hear additional comments from the committee.
This is Aaron. I concur. I think it's a good license application. My one question is more of a board staff question. There's some notes on the front page about lapsed licenses on supervisors. I'm assuming that's all worked out and the timelines have been put together on that. That hurdle's there.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I'll let some board jump in. I originally had some discussion around this with Ashley. And what I heard before was that the license was active during the time that she was supervised. And so that it qualified for it.
Gotcha.
Julie, is there anything
why we should comment? No, sorry, I didn't realize that I was muted there. I don't think there's an issue. Ashley did the research to look at how minimums and the supervisor still didn't qualify for 5 out of the last 7 years.
Any other comments or notes regarding Catherine Maxson's application? Okay, Helen, if you would.
Yeah. Hearing none, I move that there is sufficient evidence that Catherine Maxson has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
This is Aaron, I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you, Catherine. Congratulations, and thank you, Helen. Okay, so moving on to our next applicant, Bruno Barros Santos. This application was actually initially reviewed by Desiree. Desiree could not attend today's committee meeting. So I was asked to, do the presentation. So I'll go ahead and do that. Bruno has experience both with PwC and with General Motors, and I believe is currently with General Motors as a financial analyst. the applicant, his experience and examples are largely confined to sales incentives and accrual work, which I think is it appears to be his current area of engagement. So for competency A, the applicant is required to take code of conduct and antitrust compliance training each year. The applicant also described a good example of proof of skepticism, integrity, and objectivity in questioning the trend data in actual versus forecasts regarding sales incentives and accruals. For competency B, I don't believe this competency was met. This competency is related to the external and industry influences on a company and how the company analyzes itself and measures itself against its industry and competitors. The applicant describes his work in establishing business processes and internal controls over a new business venture, which are more applicable, I believe, to competencies D or E. He does describe some internal work on complying with regulations and developing critical success factors, but that's all to the extent of requirements of this competency. For competency C, the applicant provided good examples of meeting this competency and describing his work on developing, drafting, and working to improve his working papers and related analyses. For competency D, the applicant provided very good examples for meeting this competency in working with his IT and SOX compliance colleagues in developing a new sales incentive management application. For competency E, the applicant's description under this competency is limited to evaluating the risk of misstatement in the sales incentive accrual rather than the financial statements as a whole, but I still think he meets the competency requirements. He describes his work done in evaluating the control, in the controls and performing substantive tests of sales incentive data and meeting the SOX requirement of testing the accuracy of a significant pool. For competency F, I don't believe this competency was met either. This competency relates to the candidate's ability to analyze and interpret disparate financial information and formulate a conclusion as to the impact on the company's financial reports. The applicant does describe performing technical accounting research related to the setup of a new business venture and developing appropriate methods for capturing and reporting accounting information. But again, I believe this relates more to competencies D and E. For competency G, the applicant provided an excellent example of meeting this competency regarding his work in drafting a technical accounting memorandum regarding revenue and expense recognition and the related transaction stream for a new business venture. He also wrote and presented an edited version of this memorandum for communicating to non-accountants within the company. So let me open or refer to the committee for discussion or comments. As a preface, I'm going to recommend a motion for deferral of this application with respect to competencies B and F, but I'm interested in any comments or notes from the committee as well.
This is Aaron. I have the same note on B. If you read that, you'd have no idea he was in the auto industry. I'm assuming Governor General. When I read General Motors, I expected kind of analysis of like what's going on in that industry and car auto manufacturing right now. Obviously, he has supply chain issues, but it was just completely generic about just general kind of stuff. So I'm with you. I think I would need more insight to the industry.
Thanks, sir. Any other comments regarding this application?
This is Ellen. I won't belabor the point, but he also stuck out for me as well. I also had a couple of questions for the committee and my peers in general, just to level set. For this particular section, we had a really nice breadth of applicants that we saw going through. And so for competency A, we talked about code of conduct training. And as a peer group, do we feel that taking this training in and of itself demonstrates an understanding and internalization of code of conduct? Or is there something in there that we'd like to see more?
You know, from my perspective, A is so generic, it's so hard to like prove that anyways. I tend to kind of gloss right over that. Just being perfectly honest about that.
I tend to look at the examples that are given, examples where they have actually, they feel that they demonstrate what the competency A is trying to reach. And I don't think that just taking a class does it.
I agree with Mary. That's what I would work to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm sorry, Bill. I agree with Brian and Mary as well. I think it's great, continuing education, if you will, to take code of conduct training, especially on an annual basis. But I think it's important to demonstrate application of ethics in, you know, in some, you know, practical and real world manner.
Okay, thank you for your perspective. And Bruno, I'm not picking on your application. I received it because it was too
hard. I think it was a pretty good conversation from the point of view. And just, if you allow me, just a little bit of relaxing on my voice again. I'm so fortunate to be a special program engineer. I started out from Brazil, I live in Michigan now, but I started in South America. And in the program that I began, every 1 year and a half, 2 years, I changed to a different program. So it's a similarly provide process improvement, demonstrate leadership, and I had a managerial role in Chile, Peru, I was a controller for young children, who addressed a lot of internal SOCs, internal audit issues, and really revamped all the process issues back in the day, but I cannot use those examples. Because my supervisor is normally a GM, then I started back in the US, I always wanted to move to the US, and I came initially as a patriot. Have different roles and work in close consolidation with European models. They deal with the sales for open washer to PSA. It was a lot of work. I cannot use this example because it was the supervisor is no longer there. Same happens with managers. They change the transition so much, and especially this problem that I am. So I could only use the examples on globalization that I was working, which is really being a controller for small startups. But I was just at the beginning of the 6 months that I was there. When I did this application in a USSM controllership that I was with at the time. I was promoted at the beginning of this year. I'm a manager in another team. I already changed the holiday scope, but I really appreciate the comments. I think it's pretty fair. The first comment, I had a lot of conflict internal on AGM with the competition information. I had at least 10 versions. I started with so much more detail, and they didn't allow, you know, to sign up. And it's really, even when I talk to this way, I try to explain, I try to put some examples there, but, you know, hide a lot of information. And this is really a fight inside, because I cannot share a lot of information, but I want to show you that this is producing is what I found. So, fair point. So, just to give a little bit more color, even though I live in Michigan, I applied to Oregon, I had the opportunity to go to Portland, I have a friend in Portland, and went to Mount Hood. I'm a big lover of nature. Seeing the lifestyle in Oregon, with my requirements, I was able to apply for 3 different states as I had friends that applied to Oregon. Seeing the lifestyle in Oregon, I see myself in the future going to Oregon. That's why I decided to apply for Oregon.
Thank you for the context, Bruno.
Thank you, Bruno. Any other comments or notes from the committee on this application? Okay, thank you. Well, hearing none, then I move to defer the application for Bruno Barra Santos pending additional documentation with respect to competencies B and F. Is there a second, please?
Second, Bruno Barra.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I have a question on it. If he has the difficulties with managers having to sign off, is this something when he gives you the additional information on B and F, does he have to run that through his company or can he just give it to you directly?
If he's adding information to the narrative, it would need to be written and then signed by the supervisor before it's resubmitted.
Thank you, Julie and Mary. So let me read and start the vote there. I present the motion for deferral for Bruno. Again, all those in favor, we have a second to all those in favor.
Okay.
Any opposed? Okay. Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes for deferred.
Norm, can I just say to Bruno, you can reach out to our office if you're having issues, and we can maybe talk through some options.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. I have to drop here, so nice to meet everyone. Thanks for getting back.
Thank you, Bruno.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. I'll move on to our next applicant. Our next applicant is Janelle Croy, I'm sorry. And this application was reviewed by Stephen May.
Yeah.
Steve? Yes.
Yes, she has a long variety of experience in this application narrative. I have a little bit of weakness, I felt, on the, I think it was an E risk area that I asked her to rewrite or add some comments in that area. But otherwise, she has very impressive experience and I feel she met all criteria or competencies.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. Any comments or suggestions or notes from the committee members?
This is Aaron. You know, one thing I was struggling with this application is there's nothing in here about financial reporting, there's nothing in here about GAAP, there's nothing in here about tax law. Just like the two areas that CPAs deal with like all day, every day, there's just nothing about any of that in here. It sounds cool, it looks cool, but I'm not seeing accounting in here, other than I'm seeing a lot of banking tracing, bank documents and bank transfers, but that's just the overall impression I got. I think we need some GAAP or some sort of financial reporting structure to be talked about to get through the committee.
Well, that could be a weakness, yes. We are here to analyze if the unique experience in different industries, do we accept the experience in the different fields or not? You know, that's something I think we are here to discuss. You know, nobody has lots of experience in most of the candidates in this committee.
No, I wouldn't say tax experience is a requirement, or you know, but I think you gotta have something of what we do. That's two main pipelines. If you have your GAAP financial reporting skill set, or you have your tax administration skill set. You know, I think somebody in a position like this has probably worked on some sort of tax fraud or tax evasion cases. That there could be great examples of doing research and tax code and how you came to conclusion.
These examples are very generic, and they're very, and maybe they have to be, maybe there's confidentiality issues of putting specifics into them, but there is, it's
I don't think I see one reference to a source such as a ASC or even an IRC code section or anything.
I can agree with Aaron. I think for the accounting professional, you don't have to know everything. For example, if you do financial reporting, you don't need to be an expert in tax. However, financial statement, GL, and tax, you have to be expert in one area. And from my experience of reviewing some applications, I feel like sometimes the applicants, the focus area is totally different from what a professional accountant do. So in this case, I will agree with Aaron, maybe that the applicant would not qualify for CPA. Yeah.
What did you say? What was the last sentence? She qualify or she doesn't qualify?
His experience wouldn't qualify for what we are looking for to get the CPA license. That's just my personal opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I I do agree with Aaron and Gabby. This is a very impressive application, but it's a difficult field to get some of the competencies that I think we're talking about. Certainly, there's it's a field that's strong in areas like critical thinking, analyzing transaction streams, things like that. As far as Aaron, what you were describing, perhaps drafting and communicating technical accounting pronouncements or requirements, or establishing and testing for internal controls and things like that. You're right. I don't see a lot of that. So it's a little bit more of a difficult industry, but I think, you know, to kind of meet those competencies. So I agree with Aaron and Gabby on this point.
Is our outcome on the line? Is there? I mean, I see a lot of casework that was used as an example that was very kind of not redacted but sanitized. If those can be extrapolated and pulled out, like exactly what was the issue? Like how somebody presented false financial statements to a bank for a bank loan, and I had to work on unraveling that. Like if that can be pulled out of these examples, I think, you know, there's a path to get through. But if I don't know if our athletes on the line can speak to that.
I believe Janelle is on. Janelle, could you address your application?
Hi, good morning, everyone. My challenge in this was exactly that. I did not fit into those two primary categories of what CPAs normally gain experience in, which was the tax group or the gap group. I fit into that third category of industry experience. So throughout writing these narratives, I really tried to understand the competencies in the industry application that I could give examples towards, knowing that I did not have specific experience in the GAAP or the tax, working with a public accounting firm, that type of experience. There are confidentiality restrictions as well. So it was a real balance with trying to explain the work that I had done to meet or display the competencies in the context of an industry application while also protecting confidential sources, procedures, etc.
So let me ask you about, let me just start with B. The example is a kind of a very high level of investment fraud. I assume something like an investment fraud involves fake prospectus. Somebody cooked up some financial statements and gave somebody else as a means to induce them to invest some money. Is that a fair statement? Those are the kind of things that you're looking at when you're going through these cases? And are these the kind of things we can pull out a little more detail in a narrative?
I'm sorry, which narrative were you referring to?
So B, the first example is the alleged violation was an investment fraud.
Yes.
So then, I mean, you don't talk about analyzed financial records. I think what the committee needs to see is, like, what are those financial records? Was that a general ledger? Was that, you know, a QuickBooks report that was full of fake entries? If you could pull that out and show us that you use the accounting toolkit to work the case, that would probably get a lot closer to the goal than just a generic I looked at financial records. Because to the point, that's, you know, CPA does more than just look at bank statements. There's a whole skill set in analyzing and knowing how the GL flows into financial statements. Is that an option in these examples to pull out the detail and get these points?
That is the issue in and of itself, that I have to be careful in providing particulars about these cases. I can say that financial records encompasses all the things you're describing. It's not just bank statements. It's anything you can think of in order to trace a money trail. In order to understand the organization and construction of business entities, relationships between those entities, financial and or otherwise. You look at QuickBooks, we look at all types of accounting software if it's pertinent to a case. We look at individual financial records of all different types. We look at business records of all different types. We end up analyzing anything and everything we need to in order to meet our goal in an investigation. And that was simply the balance I had to strike with these types of narratives. In being too generic, but also being descriptive as what the result was of meeting that competency.
What if you were descriptive but changed some of the details to kind of mask the confidentiality and was fully transparent to the committee that, you know, your examples are examples that you've modified for that purpose? For example, competency, let's say, was investment fraud in a car dealership, and you changed the example to pretend it was like a tractor dealership or something like that, so you can kind of mask the identity and still get the examples. I mean, because I'm sure that you're doing those things, but until we have it on paper in front of us, I don't think we're going to be able to just take an applicant's word for it. If it was truly a unique situation where, like, yeah, Larry's confidentiality, I just cannot give examples, I think that's a decision maybe we have to talk about or kick to the actual board itself if they want to be approved. I don't know any thoughts on that, but I think there's a way to pull details out of this, mask identities, and make it so it's a committee compliant application that also protects people's privacy and allows you to submit it.
Can you give examples of exactly what type of detail you're looking for here?
I mean, if I look at me, my first thought of investment fraud, what kind of investments? Like, what was the, usually that involves some sort of big financial statements that was handed to somebody at some point in time that you were going to land on your desk and you're going to have them rattle. Am I on the right track there?
We deal in all types of investment fraud, so that could be one situation.
Right. So then what did you do? What were the steps that unraveled that? You started with a set of big financial statements. You probably subpoenaed some sort of financial records that was the source that created that, and you went looking for source documentation to determine that those were actually fake transactions in there. You know, something like that. If you've seen some of the examples we've done this morning, it's not a crazy PhD dissertation, but it's just something that gives us some meat on the bone to say, all right, this person is really gone down the path of being an accountant or a CPA type work.
There might even be something like, I'm thinking with money laundering, where you're trying to look at revenue recognition and you don't recognize the revenue until the job has been completed and the transaction's been completed, and maybe you were able to prove that these transactions never even occurred. So you were in violation, they were recording revenue in violation of this particular part of GAAP.
That's a good example, Mary. And I totally understand the confidential identity concern. However, I don't think you have to disclose all those sensitive information to the narrative. As Aaron and Mary tried to show, I think we just need to have some examples. Because like when we look at the CPA qualification, we really try to make sure you understand the requirements of the accounting standard or the tax rule. So if you can give us some examples related to what accounting standards or tax rule that means the statement of the financial statements is related to, and how you find the evidence to support that, I think that would be good, yeah.
Yeah, I think those are all good comments, and I agree. I mean, I think, I'm not presuming to, ideas are really your adjustments, I guess, you know, upon your sensitivity to someone's data. But you know, as I read the, it seems pretty confidential right now. I mean, I couldn't infer anything about any particular organization, you know, a company or anything or a person or anything from it. But even that, you know, even at that, I think there's more details like Aaron was describing, or Mary, or Gabby. You know, you could describe for this particular scenario, you know, this is exactly what I did in more detail. You know, take it down from just financial records to, well, what exactly, this committee doesn't need to know, any, but you notice in the other descriptions, of course, other applicants speak about their transaction streams and controls and substantive test work, all those kinds of things for their company, because that's their point of reference. But, we don't, in your case, you're dealing with multiple different examples. That's okay. We don't need to know that. We just need to generically know, in this particular type of scenario, this is kind of precisely what I did, and this is how you believe that that meets the competencies that we're seeking, to gain assurance.
Thank you. I appreciate all your comments. I suppose I'm slightly confused. I'd like some clarity here, because my understanding was that the competency related to how actions are taken in the role of a professional in ways. This happens to be in an industry setting. But I hear you all describing that you would like specific references to tax standards, GAAP standards, or rulings. Is that what you're looking for?
I mean, the short answer is yes. This is, while we use the word industry, it's still a CPA license. So while the goal is to get CPA level experience in industry, not just to have industry experience, I think would be a better way to put it. And I think you probably do. I think if it's in there, I think if you kind of, when you listen to the video, the comments here or the audio recording later, Norm's comment about it's there. We don't need to know the details. We need to know something about what happened beyond just financial records, right? We need to know the transaction stream came out of QuickBooks and I compared it to a balance sheet, and those sort of things that that kind of speak our language.
I think we have to go back to also what does the CPA mean in business in Oregon or anywhere. And I think if you go just generally with any business, when you say you have a CPA, they expect that you have certain knowledge of accounting procedures and tax procedures, whichever area you've gone into. And yours, I've seen a lot of, you have a lot of standards the FBI has set that you have to follow. And perhaps the FBI and ASPA standards may overlap, and that may be something that could be looked at.
Okay, great, thank you, Mary. Any additional thoughts or comments on Janelle's application? Okay, hearing none. So, Stephen, after hearing the comments here,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to change your choice of motions, but it's up to you to go ahead and present your motion.
I see. That's certainly in the hot spot. If there is any division between the members here on the liberal side and the conservative side, that doesn't mean anything. But anyway, I am on the liberal side, if I may say. If somebody wants to be a CPA, let her be. And you mentioned, Brian, somebody mentioned, no knowledge in taxes, for example, and can you still say you're a CPA? The conservative people might say, no, that's not CPA, CPA. To me, those things were already taken care of by passing the exam. So the basic knowledge of those things are already accomplished, in my opinion. So, how do we evaluate experience? Are you suggesting me, to defer this application
further. You know, there's no study of internal control or anything, you know. I requested to revise the competency E because I didn't see clear evidence of preventing and detecting the you know, risk issues. So, but there's a certain limitation, you know, our job is not in that kind of line of business, so to speak. And as she says, her sampling in terms of a risk analysis, her sampling is always 100%. She has to do 100% sampling to detect some risk. Whereas we CPAs don't do 100% sampling, maybe 2 or 3% sampling. So then she doesn't do any, you know, work similar to our work. You know, that's judgmental. In my opinion, I think she qualifies to be called a CPA, although you or whoever, people on the conservative side might say, oh, this is not enough. She just listed what she has done, and there was no further analysis in any particular competencies, in my opinion. But nonetheless, she can be a new kind of CPA. So it's up to committee member if you want me to defer or even denial. I can do that too.
Even as a point of reference, you're welcome to make any motion that you choose, and it can be a split vote. So committee members can vote how they choose as well, and then the motion will either pass or not.
But that's true. That's true. Anybody can deny my motion, right? So, okay, I have to go ahead with the approval.
And Chief Norma,
if Norma allows me to do so.
No, you can present, as Julie said, you can present a motion as you prefer, Stephen. May I just ask this, please? Can you present your motion in the format that required by the board?
Yes. Any other motion? Essentially, we have three motions here, right?
No.
This is Aaron.
Yeah.
Can I make a motion?
Julie, you need a point of order here, I think.
Did I confuse everybody?
I'm not getting it right. I can make a motion, right? So,
if Stephen wants you to make the motion for him, he would.
Well, no, not for him. I'm going to make a deferral motion. I think that doesn't, either way, we're going to vote, right? So we might as well vote on, we can vote on approval or vote on a deferral. Either way, right, we're going to vote. So.
Right, so point of order, Stephen would need to withdraw his motion if you're going to make a motion.
But he hasn't made one yet, right?
Well, he did, with just not the full language.
Gotcha.
So, Stephen, would you like to withdraw your motion?
Well, I'd like to make a motion of approval, but of course the committee may or may not agree with me, so you know, that's the committee's job anyway.
Right, so I think what Norm was getting at was there's specific wording for motions, just to follow the process. And so the wording, if you are making a motion for approval, you would say that you find sufficient evidence that...
Yes, I have a copy right here.
Perfect.
So may I make a motion now?
Please.
Yes.
Okay. I move that there is sufficient evidence that General Croy has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Okay, is there a second to this motion?
It can be seconded for a vote without necessarily agreeing with it. So whoever seconds the motion is just to move us to a vote.
Okay.
This is Ellen, I'll second.
Thank you, Ellen. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye, or indicate aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Any abstentions?
I need to count the nays. So we have Aaron, Ellen, Mary, Jody, Norm, Patty, and Brian.
My voting?
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to catch faces around the moving screen, so. Sorry. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. So then, Julie, can someone propose an alternate motion at this point?
Yes. So that motion failed. So at this point, a new motion could be presented.
All right. Norm, this is Aaron. Norm, you got me?
Yes. Go ahead, Aaron. Thank you.
See you later. I move to defer the application for Jim Elkroyd pending additional documentation of all competency explicit examples.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain. Well, can I abstain when I made a motion to approve, or how does it work?
You would abstain if you have a conflict of interest, but you can certainly vote nay if you don't agree with the motion.
Can I abstain?
Okay. Thank you.
Janelle, are you still on the line with us?
I hope you are.
Yes, I am.
So don't be as scared. As your forensic accountant at the DOJ, I think you have this experience. We just were particular about the applications here on this committee. I think you can get the experience you have. Just looking at like an investment or bank fraud, I know the experience is there unraveling that to get to this committee. So I think you can find a way to get that on paper through us. So don't be as scared. I hope I see you back in 3 months.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Aaron, and I agree. And Janelle, will certainly, this committee will certainly help you with additional review and edit of your application. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Janelle. Okay, excuse me. So moving to our next application then. The applicant is Emily Marcotte, and this application was reviewed by Brian Miller and Jill Marie Borovansky. Brian and or Jill Marie, if you would, please.
No, before we start, this is Aaron. I have to sign off now. You guys held the forum without me. Sorry, I have a pre-existing meeting for work, so I gotta go. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Aaron.
Hi.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, so I'm hopping into Emily's application. We took a look at this, and the main feedback we gave was, you know, Emily's been working in the accounting industry for more than 20 years, so just making sure we give examples of not only the detail level of the day-to-day, but also the macro level, industry level impacts. So Emily has been at her current company since 2009 and started there as a staff accountant. Been promoted to senior accountant and manages different aspects of the divisional accounting for the company. She works with a variety of different departments and ensures revenue recognition is accurately reflected on the financial statements for each of those different departments. And the company is fairly large. It has more than $150 million in revenue every year. So for competency A, there are some great examples here of determining when to recognize revenue, making sure that it's put in the right time period and placement based on contract that gives some good objectivity and keeping track of transactions and making sure that they're SOX compliant. for competency B, she analyzes the contracts once again, makes sure, and then measures the impact of the consumer price index with them to make sure that the billing is matching what the consumer price index is doing over that time period, and making sure that everything's flowing accordingly. In competency C, this is about the monthly closing and making sure to collect up and process all of the work papers for the GL, all the billing and reviewing and complying, and compiling everything using software and making sure that once again the revenue recognition was matching up with the different SOX compliance standards and checking that with compliance and testing so that the peer review program worked. With competency D, this was, she made sure that the transactions and where they flowed through the financials in their AIS system, making sure to understand how that impacted the company as a whole and the financials as a whole, and also making sure that to use testing and documenting how that impacted and how that was accurate or what needed to happen there. In competency E, to use risk verification to identify where there was areas of weakness in the system and how that could translate into the statements on the financials and making sure steps were taken and tracking sheets were used to ensure the revenue was accurately reported on these financials. In competency F, she evaluated and interpreted the accounting data to make sure that company decisions were being made based on the trends that the company was seeing, both and long-term trends, and needed to do research to document this and make sure that she understood the trends and what was going on. In competency G, this was where she presented to two non-technical accountants and did that both verbally and written with different reports showing the accruals and variances. So with that, I'd like to open it up to the committee.
Thank you, Brian. I don't know if, I think you are with us today. And I was also maybe hoping that Vincent was with us as well. I noticed that he directly supervised most of your examples, but it looks like he's about 3 degrees removed from your current position. And so just wondering if we get a little bit more context about how closely he was able to supervise your work, being so far removed on the organizational structure.
Hi, this is Emily. Vince Risley will join us today, but I worked with Vince since 2009, and he's reviewed my work by reviewing reconciliations and my just at a high level, like if he sees anything that's going awry with our financials, he would definitely know and would review my work in that way.
Is he typically your first level of review, or is there a manager or something that came your work product and what he would actually review?
Yeah, there's one manager that would review for me.
Would you tend to have any kind of ongoing coaching conversations or things of that nature where you would interact with on a regular basis?
We interact usually like about once a month, twice a month. We have a staff meeting together where we go over different things that are going on in our department.
Thank you. And for the committee, I know we had a conversation about some other cases. Is that a close enough relationship with direct supervision? Or are there any other concerns?
That's a good question, Ellen. Julie, is there any color you can provide to the committee here on what constitutes direct supervision?
There is in, I'm trying to open our rules up and just grab a paper one. Because a computer gets bogged down with Zoom video conference, but there is actually a description of what the supervision component should look like.
Julie, I'm just so impressed that you have paper binders on hand.
Well, it's for just such an emergency. I actually am kind of old school. I prefer paper, but so this says direct supervision, as used in this rule, means that there is a regular and meaningful interaction between the supervisor licensee and the person being supervised in terms of planning, coordinating, guiding, inspecting, controlling, and evaluating activities, and having the authority over the employee being supervised. And then, of course, they cannot be an independent contractor.
Thank you, Julie. So, I don't know, Ellen, expand on that. So, to your point, Ellen, it sounds like direct means much more direct than maybe what Emily was describing.
Maybe it's there. Again, it's unfortunate that we can't speak to Vince about what he was able to directly supervise. But I know he had very lovely things to say in the narratives. There wasn't anything that necessarily made me question it. But he did have that one comment in there about a gap in the supervision, which just made me want to understand that relationship a little better and make sure for me that happens.
Yeah. Good. So, Emily, maybe having heard Julie's description there of the definition of direct supervision, can you maybe expand a little bit more on the nature of your relationship with that manager or their supervision of your work?
As I said, Vince and I work together in 2001. He is directly over my managers, and he looks monthly mostly at reconciliations and the way things flow to the financial statements at a high level. I do some spreadsheets that analyze revenue and billing and contracts on a monthly basis, and he uses those or looks at those monthly after I've completed them and just evaluates them to make sure that they work okay and that there's nothing strange going on or unexpected.
Would you be comfortable saying that if Vince had a direct question about your work product, he would feel comfortable and know how to ask you the question directly? He would necessarily phone up to the manager?
Absolutely, you would ask me. Yeah.
Thank you. I think that satisfies my question.
Thank you. Thanks, Ellen. Thanks, Emily. Any other comments or questions regarding Emily's application?
I did have one more question about competency F. For me, the example about research and clinical lean on a technical accounting concept didn't readily jump out. I don't know if anybody else felt that competency F held that example that they would want to speak for.
Yeah, I think I'm just looking at my notes on this one as well. That one, I didn't make a note specific to technical accounting research. But to me, it kind of appeared from her description, her narrative, that she had other elements of that competency, perhaps not just specifically technical accounting research and documentation. any other comments or thoughts on that particular aspect? Okay. Well, if no other comments, then Brian, would you propose a motion with respect to this application?
And I don't know if we have a whole, so just for clarification for me, well, if somebody doesn't have a supervisor that we deem more direct enough, how does that play into the application? Is that reviewed before it gets to us, or is that something that we are reviewing as part of our kind of approval process?
And from a staff perspective, we are making sure that the supervision component is addressed, but the comfort with the supervision falls with the committee.
I see.
So not trying to pass the back, but we're not the decision makers on these applications. And then I would add, and I think Jason Robinson would probably agree, that if you move forward in either direction, right, it's a deferral now and an acceptance later, or if you move forward to accept now, that you could call attention, or Jason could carry that forward to the board, that, you know, you look closely at this and you move one direction, and then the board also has the option to look at that again and make their own determination.
Okay. I move that there is sufficient evidence that Emily Markov has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OALR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Thank you, Dan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
I was afraid
you wouldn't vote that. Yeah,
opposed. So I need to get names when we have a split vote. So ayes are Stephen, Mary, Jody, Jill, Gabby. Brian, where did you fall?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. And then we have opposed are Ellen and Norm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I think that motion passes correctly based on the vote, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. I'm just thinking that if we have 1, 2, 7, we have 8. Now I need to get out my Robert's Rules of Order. We should be fine.
Okay. Okay.
Just have a quorum. Is that what you're thinking, Julie?
Yes, and if we just have a quorum and we have eyes that take us under a majority of the 11, does that change the passage of the motion? But I think with two nays, we still would have 6 ayes. So that would still be a majority, so I think we're fine.
Very good. Thank you, Brian, and thank you, Pam.
Quick question. Do we need to do anything to add, like, reasoning for the no's so that we can, like, when it goes to the committee, those areas are addressed? Is there a formal part of any of that?
Those steps will be included in the summary of this meeting that will go to the board, and then I believe, I'm speaking on your behalf, Jason, I'm sorry, but I believe Jason is also making these notes and will speak to the board about it if he feels like it's important.
That's, Julie is absolutely correct.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move to our next application. This applicant is Abhishek Kumawat, and this was reviewed by Gabby Zoom. Gabby, if you would, please.
Hi. Before I give the committee member a walkthrough of Abhishek's application, just want to ask who the Abhishek is. Is a job is asked?
I don't believe I've seen him join.
Okay. Yeah. But I think I can still move forward. So the applicant, Abhishek, he has been working for land consulting for 40 years. And a little bit introduction about land consulting's business. So land consulting is a fund administration service company. Its clients are hedge funds. So the clients take care of trading and the marketing of funds, and the land consultants are responsible for providing them estimates and the final accounting numbers, and provide reports to underlying investors after client's confirmation and approval. So the position that Abhishek held at Lab Consulting is a senior account manager for fund accounting, and his main job duties are onboarding new clients on the system, making sure proper due diligence is done on the clients and investors, checking systems to make sure the follow fund offering terms of the investor qualification, accounting, fees, and reporting, and also helping clients in the reporting requirement and preparing draft financial statement and reviewing them before it goes to auditor. They also take care of FATCA and the CRS reporting, and help client and auditor for their queries. So by reading the application narratives, I think Abhishek meets two competencies, which are competency A and B. However, I have some hesitation to believe that his experience meets competency C through G. So for the competency C, I think he gave us some examples of how he keeps good records of documents and file them in organized way for the future reference. But I think what we are looking for here is specific examples of how the applicant applied his financial analysis skill to solve a specific financial accountancy issue, and how he documented the whole process from beginning to conclusion that others of equal professional backgrounds would be able to perform the process and reach similar conclusion. So I don't think Abhishek provided the example to meet what we are looking for. For competency B, I think Abhishek's work nature in fund administration is more similar to bookkeeping function instead of technical accounting. So the concept of internal controls is missing here in the narrative. He did mention about reconciliation of certain reports and accounts, but I think they are very basic internal control. To be a CPA, I think we are looking for like a higher level understanding of like the internal controls, such as like a segregation of duties in the cash management transaction cycle, or like the three-way match in the purchase and the payment transaction cycle. So I just don't feel like the examples here is sufficient to make me believe he meets this competency. And for competency E, I see examples of verifying trade transactions, verifying value of positions, and check risk of misstatements of financial statement. And I like how he demonstrated his thinking process in regards to how to capture the fraud by interviewing related working team as well as the clients and their CFOs. However, again, it seems to me the nature of the applicant's job is different from what we usually view as accounting professional's duties would be. And I just feel like they use different skills at work. A lot of the core concepts in accounting and financial reporting work, such as completeness, existence and occurrence, rights and obligations,
doesn't look like to be the focus area of this applicant's work. So that's why I have hesitation to believe he meets this competency as well. And for competency F, I think Abhishek can get good examples of decision making. However, it is not that much relevant to use accounting data to identify significant trends and interpret its impact on the financial reports. And again, I feel like this is it's just because of the difference in the nature of the work he's doing compared to what a normal professional accountant would do. And for competency G, I don't understand his work experience or how he demonstrated here in the narrative. Give us good examples that's related to accounting. So, in general, I don't think this applicant work experience and scale is what we are looking for a CPA to have, but I'd like to defer to the committee for discussion before making any motions. Yeah.
Thank you. Any discussion regarding this application?
This is Ellen. I would agree with a lot of what Gavin said. I felt like a competency B was difficult to pull out what critical success factors were. I wasn't sure if he was trying to point to the fact that maybe timeliness from boss to report was one of those critical success factors that he was trying to illustrate. I didn't feel that competency C, there was a clear example of an accountancy issue that was documented. I almost felt like you could have switched these examples in D and E. I thought they did a better job of demonstrating his understanding of internal controls and competency D. Then for, again, competency F, that technical accounting concept, I think you can potentially pull it out. He does start to have some good conversation description around hedge financial statements, which I know do have some very specific technical accounting concepts associated with them. And I feel like if he expanded on that example, he really has the potential to show that he has that experience and that accounting background. But I would like competency F to talk on those interpretations of short-term and long-term trends within financial reporting.
Thank you. To add my own comments, I agree with both Ellen and Gabby. There's some weaknesses throughout, as Gabby explained very well. I particularly myself have written down particularly competencies D and G. This applicant, I feel, spends a lot of time explaining to in his narrative what the meaning of the competency is, as opposed to how he specifically met this competency or demonstrated his achievement of his competency, I should say. D, I think, is drawn in that way, and G as well. Again, G, the applicant describes in detail all of the financial statements he prepares, but doesn't really get to the point of his competency of analyzing disparate financial information, you know, applying a critical thinking and forming a conclusion. I agree with the comments I've been made.
One thing, I don't know where this would go, but when he talks about his work with cryptocurrency, I know there's been some standards that have just recently been passed on that or are being discussed in the past, because I've seen that showing up in Journal of Accountancy. And this is one where he could have mentioned what is going on with even acknowledging that cryptocurrency does have value and then how to value it. And anyway.
Thank you, Mary. And I apologize, I said D and G before, I meant to say D and F, were the ones I had noted in particular. Okay, any other comments regarding this application or notes? Okay, hearing none, then Gabby, would you please propose a motion?
Sure. I move to defer the application for Abhishek Kumawat pending additional documentation
to demonstrate the competencies for competencies B through G.
Is there a second?
No, a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you, Gabby. Okay, let's move to our last application then. This applicant is John Post, and the review of this application was performed by Ellen Baum and Angelo Bedard. Ellen, if you would, please.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for John and support audience for hanging with us through all of our other applicants. I thought John had a very neat, well-organized, and well-thought-through narrative. I really appreciated the ways that he formatted his examples. They were clear, they were concisely drawn to the requirements of each competency. His examples include sufficient detail for me to feel like I had a good understanding of both the depth and the breadth of his work in the Oregon Department of Revenue, which I know is extremely difficult given the sensitive nature of the cases and that he works. As a sidebar, it also gave me an appreciation for the work that he does. I happened to be filing my taxes at that point in time. I just would have really appreciated John's ability to communicate clearly if I ever found myself in any one of his investigations. So for competency A, I really like to have John outline specific examples of his integrity and professional judgment and due professional care. Particularly, he was having to visit an initial decision on a labor deduction that wasn't filed timely. It's always difficult to go back and say that we've changed our minds without any facts to appear. So I appreciated that as an example. At competency B, John gave insight into many different businesses and industries, given his role as a tax auditor. I appreciated his examples demonstrating an understanding of any of his objectives, ranging from impacts of COVID on an out-of-state airport, and how you conduct industry research on competitors and review prior year financial statements and developing that understanding, all the way to understanding internal workings and external environments of a local farm, where he had to research what property that the property was not large enough for the corporate expansion, so that he would be able to achieve his goals of break-even. In competency C, given how well John's examples were outlined in the narrative, it was no surprise to me that he had multiple examples of experience documenting work papers and being able to successfully group large amounts of data that was easily identifiable in the categories. In particular, I wanted to call examples C1. In this instance, John recalculated capital gains on ordinary income amounts. The representative viewed the worksheet and was able to come to the same conclusion. That was a strong example. In competency D, I thought John demonstrated his ability to understand controls in place that support accurate and financial statements. In D1, John identified that there was no segregation of duties, that the bank recon were accurate and showed evidence of review. He was also able to identify the control gaps where income was initially documented outside of the accounting system, but there was no reconciliation process to ensure that data was completely incorporated into the accounting system. For competency E, I felt he had a lot of strong examples, again in particular competency E1. He detailed how he evaluated the risk of his statement, and he ensured that data accuracy was being performed by looking at the balance sheet, cash flow, ratios and analysis, and looking for ones that were larger than usual, then questioning items by using industry comparisons and three-year trends. I appreciate that he looked at information from formal accounting systems, lack of segregation of duties within the systems, that the data source was coming from a 1040, which was a summary report. All this spoke to his ability to look at risk and to be able to come to conclusions. I also thought example E3 was very strong. He used the high current ratio but a low operating cash flow ratio to identify that there was not enough operating cash flow to cover current liabilities. He also identified a giant red flag that the balance sheet didn't reconcile, so there's a liability statement. Good point out of risk unknown. Then for competency F, just again, impressive general knowledge across multiple industries. Example 1F was a real estate sole proprietorship where they reached passive activity loss guidance as well as startup expenditures to conclude on the correct filing requirements. And just as a quick call out, I'm not a tax professional, but I definitely considered any of those
references to Internal Revenue Code as being an example of technical research. For example, F2, using problem-solving skills and ingenuity to interpret account data, coming across an instance where he was having to come up with the fair market value of an older tool, really using everything that was at his disposal and going on to online auctions to develop that fair market value. Example, F3, analyzing accounting data by removing out inventory adjustments related to capitalization and inclusion of expenses for an S-corp farm, and how, in order to determine if the adjustment was correct, he had to research the appropriate calculation methodology, as well as trace direct and indirect amounts to financial records to determine if they were appropriate. Then just to wrap it up, I mean, I think John's overall narrative was a good example of his ability to clearly present data and information, as well as accounting rules in a written presentation. So I wasn't surprised by his examples there, and I really feel like his narrative is a strong example of his ability to demonstrate that as well. So in conclusion, I think John has an extremely strong narrative, and I intend to move him through for approval, but I will stop here and get some feedback from the committee as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ellen. I think this is a very strong application, and so well written, so organized, you know, it was great, and also the examples, numerous examples, and very, you know, specific and relevant examples to relate to the competencies. It was a very good application, so I agree completely. Any other comments or notes on this application from the committee? Okay, hearing none, Ellen, if you would propose a motion.
Yes, absolutely. I move that there is sufficient evidence that John Post has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing under OAR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ellen, and thank you, John.
Yeah, well done, John.
Thank you. Great. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. That takes us to the end of our agenda. Before I go ahead and adjourn us, any other input for the Greenlit Committee before we adjourn?
I do have a question, because when Alan raised the question about the supervision, I had always imagined that the supervision was the manager knowing this person was applying for a CPA and making sure that they understood the connections to different rules and regulations and why they were doing what they were doing, what they were looking for. Almost like a mentoring situation. And I don't know if we need to maybe get more clarity on that, define more clarity about what we want in that kind of relationship.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. I mean, it's a good idea. Ellen, you raised an excellent question that I thought was extremely relevant to that application. So any other thoughts on that from this committee? I mean, we heard from Julie what the specific definition that is, perhaps the message is that we should, all of us when we review applications, should spend more time reviewing that particular aspect as well, because I thought it was kind of relevant.
Yeah,
no,
this is Ellen. I'm happy to provide my own color into it. In a couple of the applications, specifically in one of the applications that I presented today, there was the question about whether or not they were directly supervised, given that their license expired, so I think maybe that it was more sensitive to that in this particular case. I know within our own company, and with looking through some of the other companies who have established relationships with the committee as far as what they expect from the supervisor, that we've always talked about those lines of review, whether or not they were direct or if they were dotted. If they were dotted, making sure that there was that structure in place when you were getting that regular supervision and that regular interaction. Because by signing the application as their supervisor, you are probably attesting to the fact that, yeah, the examples that this applicant is including are factually accurate. And so making sure that they are
close enough to that individual that really means something.
Excellent thoughts. So maybe the, I mean, it's clear what the definition is, and, hearing our comments here, it sounds like maybe as committee members, we just need to be more conscious of that. When we look at these, when we review the applications, and ask, contact back with the applicant whose application we're reviewing, ask that question in particular in addition to other questions you may have to run by. Okay, yeah, good. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Ellen. Any other comments? I'm sorry.
Hello. I have some questions for the committee member and the board of accountancy staff, but before we enter into potential discussion, I wonder whether we should let the guests and the candidates go first.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Gabby. All the guests and candidates, that's the conclusion of our regular business here for the committee. You can be excused, and the committee has some further things to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Gabby. Please go ahead.
All right. So it's just that today we reviewed the applications from JNL and Abhishek, and I remember one application I reviewed like 2 quarters ago. I have questions about how we define CPA. Just to go by the name is certified public accountant. So my understanding is the focus should be the person should be doing accounting work. And how I view what qualifications a CPA should hold is like, if I know that a person is a CPA, then I have to put a higher confidence in the work that the person do. That's why I don't want to be mean to say no to the applications, because I do appreciate that people want to become a CPA, which is cool. And my understanding is we have 2 different tracks for becoming a CPA in the Oregon state. One is from the public accounting industry, and one is from the industry. And I do want to make sure the applicant that becomes CPA from the industry track does still have the same level of understanding about accounting standards and the tax rule. From the people who get the CPA license from the public accounting. And sometimes I feel like people's the job duties they're doing is more like a bookkeeping. And I think what differentiates between CPA and the bookkeeper is you have that critical thinking skill, and also you are able to interpret the accounting standards and apply them to choose the right accounting treatment for the transactions that you are reporting. And a lot of times, in some of those applications, when I don't think that they're doing the accounting work, I just don't feel like they have a lot of exposure. So I just want to like bring this to discussion within the board of accountants and the committee. I'm very curious about what everyone else think about this.
Okay, I can go first. The way I'm interpreting the question is kind of the difference between theory and practice. So you may have practiced a bookkeeper, but you understand the theory of accounting behind it. And if you were able to demonstrate that you may be just booking AP, but you know the difference between looking at an invoice and understanding that it's actually a prepaid and calling it to somebody's attention, I think that demonstrates the difference between, yes, I usually get accrual and expense all day, but I know the difference. Like, I know when to stop, and I know when to raise the red flag. In this particular setting, we had, I thought both John and Janelle's were a good comparison. They're both kind of in that auditor investigation role. But for me, John was really able to demonstrate that he understood the balance sheet, he understood the P&L, he understood the cash statement. He's able to give a level of description that I didn't feel disclosed at the sensitive information. But in Janelle's, I wasn't getting any understanding beyond how to follow cash.
And so for me, that's why her particular application falls short of demonstrating that she is demonstrating like what we want to see in a CPA.
Yeah, Gabby is saying, what is CPA, you know, in the 21st century? I think that's her question, if I may. You know, some doctors know only legs or feet. He doesn't know anything about the brain surgery. And some doctors specialize in nose and eyes and ears. And he doesn't know anything, well, shouldn't say anything, but not expert in, say, heart surgery. To me, the new generation of CPA, for example, Brian was saying he didn't have any, one of the applicants didn't have any tax experience or anything. And that's fine to me, you know, specialty to me, like a Janelle Crowley's case, I feel she can be a CPA specializing in forensic accounting. Keep saying again and again, she was a forensic accountant. So, whatever it means, you know, that's a new generation of accountants, so doesn't need to do any taxes or anything. And, you know, how many CPAs today in the United States do the study of internal control, for example, unless you work for the audit team. Most CPAs don't do a study of internal control, although we are aware of what it is. So, to me, you know, we should have a CPA specializing in the investment, or CPA specializing in forensic accounting. So, to me, of those seven competencies, as I look at it, individual exception never asks, have you done tax work or any of those? You know, the critical thinking, you know, how seriously did you write the report? Or how seriously did you do the data gathering? You know, those are important things. Isn't that what we're looking for? The seven competencies? Not traditional experience in an accounting firm.
Well, the competencies do specifically ask for things around internal controls. They do specifically ask for things around systems. And to just touch base on what you were saying before with the examples of doctors have very specific licenses and very specific definitions of what they do. If I had brain cancer, I would not go to a podiatrist. And I would not go to a podiatrist because I know it's not what my specialty is. So if we have folks who are applying for a CPA license, we want to make sure that is interpreted equally by all people. And I think that's, at least in my perspective, that is why that's how I'm jumping in.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ellen. And I really like the example you showed, like what's the difference between John and Janelle. It's not about the exact work you're doing, but it's about how you show your understanding about the accounting standards, right? And that you can tell if there is anything going wrong, you can raise the flag. I think I agree with you.
Go ahead. Well, thanks, Mary. I was just going to say, just a follow on. That's exactly the reason this committee is here, right? There are well-documented professional standards for CPAs. There are other certifications if somebody wants to receive a certification in investment management or, some of those things. CPAs have a very specific credential that's defined by professional standards by state law. And our job here is exactly to ensure exactly what we're doing here is to ensure that, or help to ensure anyway, that the applicants applying for the CPA credential and licensure to practice meet those standards through this alternate channel of industry experience. So I think it's our job, and please don't, there's no reason to feel bad, Gabby, when we have to vote to defer somebody's application. That's exactly what we're here for. The example Brian was giving about tax work was just an example. He wasn't being specific about that.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
just an example. That's the job of the committee here, and the competencies, again, are very well stated. They're documented in much more voluminous fashion, in the professional standards, but they're paraphrased or just kind of restated very nicely and succinctly. And believe me, even though we've done this lots and lots of times, I go back every one of these applications that I read or in the written report, I take that competency very seriously and I try to apply how does what this person describing meet those competencies. Even though it's not through the traditional path, they still need to meet those competencies. So that's exactly my work here.
And I was thinking in the case of Janelle, she may very well meet all the competencies, but she may not realize it because she doesn't have the education to understand that what she's doing fits with what we are requiring. And I would think her supervisor is a CPA, that he should be able to help her realize that. For instance, internal controls. I'm sure she's checking for internal controls in the work she does, but I could not read into what she wrote and say, yes, I'm sure she does this in the background. They need to be able to say, I have done this. And I would just bet that when she's looking and investigating for fraud, she's looking for internal controls, and she sees weaknesses in internal controls and then starts focusing on that for the fraud. But she's not saying that, and I think that that's part of the application process, is the communication, being able to communicate what you have done properly. How can they communicate standards and decisions to other people appropriately if they can't communicate to us what they have done appropriately? And also, I agree with you about the other kinds of qualifications. I get all the time things for becoming a forensic accountant as a specialization for a CPA. And I've been curious about it, but they wouldn't be sending it to CPAs if they weren't expecting us to have a body of knowledge to start with that they could trust when they move on to their specialty.
Yeah, and I think there are so many different certificates for different professionals. Sometimes I just say in people's signature email, they put so many different titles there, like CPA or the other thing. I mean, when I say the CPA, I could just pay, okay, we can speak the same language. But sometimes when I interact with that person, I just got surprised. I don't know how to get a CPA license, so I just want to make sure I do my due diligence here in this committee when we review the applications. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you, Gabby. And thank you for your diligence. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Jason, did anything you might care to add to this conversation before we adjourn?
I mean, no, there's something else we need to bring to the board to get a perspective on, like, what they see supervision being, how far we can delve into the competencies. Please let me know. Brought that out to the board, or I guess to answer the question in general.
Yeah, that'd be great if they could provide any additional guidance to us, Jason.
Okay.
But I have to say, like we discussed in the last thing too, I appreciate every single one of these meetings. I appreciate the diligence and the expertise that everybody on this committee brings in their work and their duties. Applications. I mean, it's our job, that's why we're here, to ensure the standards of CPAs are met, because once they receive that license, they're being held out to the public as a CPA, and they should meet the competencies required. So, okay, thank you, everybody. Anything else before we adjourn? Great, well, thank you. If there's nothing further, I will adjourn the Qualifications Committee meeting at 11:03 a.m. on May 18th, 2022.
Thank you, Norm.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.